He covers Vanderbilt. You can find him on Twitter at RW Weinstein. Robbie, is it Weinstein or Weinstein?
Yeah, you got it right. You got it right.
It's Weinstein. Weinstein. Yeah. I heard
you're definitely the minority, but you got it right the first time.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I heard it was like one of the Zoom calls that somebody they called you out and they said Robbie Weinstein. And I thought, I bet you that made
that's
him so mad.
Bad for the brand. Bad for the brand.
But you know, I'm used to it. I don't really at this point. I definitely don't care.
You have an ego, Robbie. No, I'm just kidding, man. We always love having you on. So obviously, Vandy, Stanford, battle of the brains. Who has the higher GPA going in this game?
I told. All right, let him say it.
That's a good question. I don't know. That's interesting. I mean, I think Vandy, you know, by nature of having more MLB prospects, maybe that means they don't have the higher GPA. I don't know.
Probably.
Frankly, they don't, you know, basically every baseball player who comes to Vandy, the degree is nice, but if we're being honest, like almost all of these guys, you know, are professional caliber players, and it's rare for these guys not to get a shot in the minors. So maybe Stanford, I don't know.
So are you trying to say that professional athletes are stupid?
No, I'm saying
I think he's saying all athletes are stupid.
Without, you know, all you got to do is just stay eligible, you know?
Right. Just got to stay in the school.
All right, let's move off this real quick. Bringing back
Bruno's
bad memories.
Getting touched here. Doesn't like it. So, Robbie, let's get to the real side of it. Do we have any idea who's going to be starting on the bump here tonight for Vandy?
I think it's going to be Christian Little over Pat Riley. If you know, I know this took place at like 12:30 a.m. or whatever the other night, but if you watched the game against Arizona, Pat Riley got up in the bullpen and was throwing, and they were considering bringing him in. They didn't end up bringing him in, but Little was not warming up. So, you know, after seeing that, I was kind of wondering about that. My thing is, like, Pat Riley, you know, good player, but he gets into the game, and in the first inning, Vanderbilt is very consistently going down 2-0, 3-0, and then he settles in for sure. He typically goes really strong through the second, third, fourth inning, and then sometimes in the fifth, you know, again, he runs into trouble. I don't know that, you know, I mean, Vandy's offense hasn't really been so great recently, and so I don't know that they can afford to get behind 3-0. So my prediction is that it'll be Christian Little, and they've got someone like Nick Maldonado or Chris McElvain in the bullpen ready to go if they need the quick hook.
Well, let's just go ahead and say we don't know officially, but let's put us in the world that Christian Littlefield is the starter. Do you think Corbin has done the right things with Littlefield that in a win and go home or win or lose and go home situation for Vanderbilt right now in the College World Series that the 17-year-old kid is mentally prepared for this big of a situation?
I mean, it's definitely a fair question. When else have we ever really seen this? I mean, I think it's probably less about that and more about he did pitch really well. Little pitched very well against Ole Miss in the SEC tournament. That's one of the elite lineups in college baseball. And I can't remember if he shut him out or if it was just one run allowed or whatever. And then he was cramping and had to leave the game. So, I mean, he is a top prospect for the 2023 draft. So there's no question the talent. I think the question is, has he turned the corner, or was that just a really good game, you know, mid of season where he has a 5.01 ERA, and sometimes he's been good and sometimes he really hasn't looked good. He's also, most of his games came against midweek competition. So, you know, he's only had two games against this type of opponent. The other one was against Louisville. They didn't make the NCAA tournament. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a really big stage for him. We'll see. He's definitely like talented enough to be able to do a good job tonight, assuming that it ends up being him. But yeah, I mean, this is something different for sure. I would say Vanderbilt at least would feel good about the fact that is a pitcher's park out in Omaha, and Little, like a lot of the players on the staff, a lot of the pitchers has given up some home runs this season. So it's harder to homer in Omaha.
Listen, man. Sometimes ignorance is a bliss. Sometimes you throw the young guy out there and they don't know any better and they're just going to be like, I'll just do my thing, right? Maybe someone that's more seasoned that understands the moment might crumble under it. Sometimes you just got to throw the young cat in there, see what he can do, all right? And what does Vanderbilt have to lose?
Well, everything.
Well, after the last two performances, because let's not act like, you know, they slobber knocked Arizona out. You know, it was the beginning of that game was like, Vandy fans were on DEFCON 0 or whatever. They were losing their minds. And then, you know, two hits. that's going to be a tough one. Robbie, what do they got to do to get going on offense, man? Do they need to start earlier? Just sell out? Like, what do they got to do to get people on base?
Yeah, no, I think you're on the right track. I do think they need to be more aggressive. I think the stat, you know, Max Schneider, who's the former sports editor for the Vanderbilt Hustler, had this stat. He said that he, I guess, went back and looked, and there were 14 first pitches in that game the other night that Vanderbilt took for a called strike.
Wow.
So you're getting behind in the count a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think pitch selection in general this season has been an issue for them. That would be, you know, taking pitches that they should swing at or swinging at pitches that they shouldn't. So that has been a weakness for a lot of the season. I think that really kind of reared its ugly head on Monday. So, you know, yeah, I would say when they do get guys on base, like Enrique Bradfield is 1-for-8 in Omaha, I think. So he needs to get going. And then I think when they get him or Javier Baez on base, you know, they haven't been stealing as often. So I would try to get the run game going. And, you know, one other thing, honestly, that I would consider is moving Vaz up in the order for Carter Young and bumping Young down for, you know, from the number two spot. Now, he has looked a little bit better in Omaha, but the reality is, you know, dislocated shoulder is a tough thing to come back from midseason, and I kind of doubt that he's at 100%. So, you know, I know it may be a tough sell to, like, move one of your star players down in the order, but I would consider it because Vaz is really hitting the ball well, and there's not much of a scouting report out on him yet because he's barely played this season.
Well, you know, it's no secret, obviously, that the reason why Vanderbilt lost against NC State was that their bats were just not there. I just wonder, what was Tim Corb's vibe, so to say, you know, on the pressers and just so far where you've seen him that, you know, the answer's obvious, right? Nobody wants to ask a stupid question of why is the offense not ready or what's happening. We know this team is there. We know this team has the capabilities, but we've seen this a time or two before through the regular season, really more or less towards the end of the regular season where the bats just kind of disappear. Is it a youth thing or is it a just sometimes you get unluckily not hot at the wrong time?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I asked Corbin after that game, and I hate, you know, those post-game press conferences after losses for him because he is so competitive, and you know, it is, you can get dunked on if you don't approach it the right way.
I know what you mean.
So I kind of asked him, like, you know, I mentioned the called strikes on the first pitch, and he sort of said that, you know, the way he put it suggested that the guy was from NC State, Highfill, had so many different pitches and was landing all of them that they were kind of off balance and didn't know what to expect. But, you know, I mean, the further you go along in the postseason, the pitchers are going to be better and that can happen. So, yeah, I think, like, for instance, Bradfield, he's hit some good line drives in Omaha that just haven't fallen and they've been, you know, right at the left fielder or whatever. So I think there's been a little bit of that, you know, the BABIP stuff, the batting average on balls in play, just you know, getting unlucky. But I don't know, there's a lot of big swings and misses, and I mean, the NC State game, like you guys said, like, this has been a concern recently, but that game was by far the worst of them all because these weren't even, like, good at-bats, and I just don't think they ever challenged the guy.
Well, and it's really gotten to the point, you know, I asked the start-off question, which is what everybody wants to know, is who's going to be pitching, but it doesn't really matter because if the pitching's, I mean, we saw Jack Leiter pitch a gem of a game, and it was all for naught when you only put up two hits. So it doesn't even matter who's really on the bump, whether it's Riley or Littlefield.
Yeah, I'll say this is Stanford. Their starting situation is pretty dire, honestly. Like they have two really good starting pitchers, and then after that, you know, I don't know who's going to be starting for them. But the two guys who they used as their third and fourth starters back in regionals. Those guys both have ERAs a little bit above 6. So they have not been good. Having said that, Highfill from NC State entered with an ERA of like 3.9-ish. And so it's not like he was lighting everybody up either. I mean, he was pitching better down the stretch for sure and had been good in the postseason. But Vandy should have done better than what they did. So, yeah, I mean, Stanford has talented players. Like, I mean, if Vanderbilt, you can't just assume that they're going to destroy these guys because they have a high ERA, because the reality is that Vanderbilt's hitting, I mean, it's not very good right now.
Well, talk to me real quick about what you know about Stanford outside of just their pitching. What does their hitting look like, and as a team itself?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think the strength of their team is the two starting pitchers who have already gone. Like Brendan Beck was a guy who he was one of the top starters in the Pac-12 this season. But in terms of the hitting, I mean, they've got they don't have anybody who, you know, I would say is like one of the best hitters that Vanderbilt has faced this year. But they do have a lot of guys who are kind of in between, like, you know, 300 and 280 or so. So this is a fairly deep lineup. That's, you know, they're going to go 5, 6, 7 guys deep with guys who can hit the ball. And they've got a few different guys with power. They've got 4 starters who with 10 or more home runs. I don't know that that's going to be, you know, again, like, you don't want to rely too much on homers in Omaha, or you end up 2 and out like Tennessee. Yeah, I would say this is kind of like a deep lineup that maybe doesn't have one individual superstar. That's how I would put it. So, I mean, that's a challenge for Little. It means that there's not going to be a lot of gaps or breaks for him.
Listen, Robbie, I want to know what you think going into the game. Do we get a high-scoring one, or do we get a 1-0 type game? Which one? Or do we get the extra innings? Because those are the 3 Vanderbilt games we get.
You're getting a Bruno's bet here, by the way. That's what you're securing here, Robbie.
I think I'll go high-scoring. As much as Vanderbilt's offense has underwhelmed recently, I do think they're a little bit due for a bounce back. The starting pitchers in this game do not have good numbers and have not pitched on this level. So I think both those factors come into play, like, you know, some regression to the mean. Also, some breaking news, the live stats just came up and Little is indeed started.
Oh, breaking first here on the afternoon stretch with Robbie Weinstein.
Prophetic Weinstein.
We like it. So Littlefield being on there, I mean, now we can actually, you know, go into saying that I feel like he's not ready for the big moment personally.
I mean, I think that's reasonable. Like, we won't know until tonight, but it's pretty rare, pretty unusual for guys to enroll early in baseball. As you guys know, that happens all the time for football. But he was in high school like in December, so
now he's at College World Series.
He'll be all right.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's what Corbin's telling him. You'll be all right, youngin. Yeah, get out of there.
Step up.
Well, how does Corbin approach it so far, too? I know I asked you earlier that if he has presented him with enough challenges, but, you know, what is Corbin's thoughts on Littlefield been continually throughout the season? Has he remained pretty vigilant? I mean, because he's never really came out and said he's the third piece. But by putting him in now, I think he's unofficially saying this is our third piece.
Yes, so I agree with that. I mean, Pat Riley was the third starter down the stretch. They tried Chris McElvain at one point. But, yes, I do agree that is what he's saying now. I asked Corbin in the preseason about, like, what their expectations were for Little, and he made sure to say, like, we don't have any expectations. Like, we just, you know, are going to just see where it goes, basically. And they were just throwing him in midweek games and just kind of, I think the way they thought of it is whatever we get from this guy – you know, a year earlier than maybe we were expecting him to originally come, it's just kind of gravy, right? It's a bonus. You know, with a guy that talented, I think it's a little bit different than if you had just a random freshman who all of a sudden pitched pretty well his last 2 starts. Like, you know, this guy has electric stuff and talent. So, the question really is, like, whether he has turned the corner. And I don't know. They're kind of going on a 1-game sample size with that. But, I think he has gotten better in terms of, like, navigating college lineups, I would say, is the big thing. Because especially, maybe the midweek opponents aren't the strongest in the world. But every once in a while you get a team that's a quality team and can hit. And it's still a big step up from high school. So I think, like, not being able to mentally check out for a little bit like he could in high school is probably a big thing that he has improved on.
We're talking with Robbie Weinstein. You follow him on Twitter at RW Weinstein. He covers Vanderbilt for 247 Sports. Robbie, I hate to say that excuses get built in, and I don't think the fan base would ever question Corbs, right? Like, I think that we're all to the point now where Corbin is in the equator with Saban, where it's just whatever his decision is, everybody's going to accept it and move on. But does this build in an excuse, if you will, for Vanderbilt saying that the 17-year-old's coming in the clutch, the biggest moment of the season so far?
I don't think so. I don't think it should, because they should be sitting in the winner's bracket right now. They had Leiter, you know, pitch like the game of his life, you know, right there with the South Carolina game, and they lost 1-0. And yeah, it's not like they were going against Cy Young, right? So you know, they should be like, they shouldn't be playing today. But they bungled that opportunity. And NC State is a really good team that might win the national championship. I think they've got a really good chance to do that. So I don't think there's any excuses anymore, because the reality is, like, I mean, they should have won that last game. If you, especially with all the talent that Vanderbilt has, they have the number one recruiting class almost every single year. You can't be getting shut out in Omaha.
Robbie, we appreciate you jumping on with us, my man. Let everybody know where they can find you, all your sites, your Twitter, everything like that.
Yeah. Vandy247.com. I'll have live coverage tonight and all that sort of stuff. And then at RW Weinstein on Twitter. I will warn you, if you're like streaming the game on Watch ESPN, my tweets may be a few seconds ahead because I have YouTube TV. But otherwise, you're good.
Subtle flex.
Let's go!
I like the flex at the end that you spend the money on YouTube TV.
Yeah, well, me and Max, you know, we need all that full. We need, it has like NBA TV, NHL Network, which is big for Max, MLB, you know, it's got some, I like YouTube TV. It's good. It helps also that it's not, there's less of a delay. That's good for me.
Max Herz, for anyone who doesn't know which Max he's talking about. Y'all are roommates, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So cool. Of course he does, he did, I don't know if he's continuing doing it, but I know he was throughout the regular season, Max on the SEC Plus, where he was doing all the Vandy games. So we all, it's a real click that we're all in here. Actually, another good buddy of the click is coming in. That's Ty Richardson will be in next week. So we might all get together probably.
Well, click or Colt. I'm gonna miss Ty. Unfortunately, I'm gonna be out of town. So use our house as a home base. We're deciding whether we want to let him destroy it or not. I don't know yet.
Well, Robbie, we appreciate coming on, my man. Hopefully Vandy gets the win today and we can continue talking about him going further in the College World Series.
All right. See you guys later. This appreciate will be an interesting one.
Robbie.